In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
I was inspired this week by a bumper sticker. The first line of the bumper sticker said, "In God we trust." And the second line said, "Everyone else must bring data." And I love that. It's so true. We are a culture of skeptics. We always demand evidence. And in that same spirit, I took some time to review the data that we here at St. Nicholas record, data that describes our basic life together. This is our parish metrics book. It doesn't oftentimes make an appearance in the church. I keep it over at the rectory. This is the official book in which we record all of the funerals, all of the baptisms, all the chrismations, and all of the weddings that take place here. And I wanted to share from it some of the data that's there. Since I moved to Salem in July of 2010, not quite 7 years ago, I have buried 37 people at St. Nicholas. Mostly they are members of the parish family. I also turned the page back a little bit and I reviewed Father Mark's time here. Father Mark was here for just over 3 years. And in the metrics book, it says that Father Mark recorded 27 burials. We are not a big parish. Each year, almost with an amazing kind of consistency, we report about 85 members. And in 10 years, our small church of 85 members has experienced 64 deaths. 64. I was stunned. How can St. Nicholas survive? 85 minus 64 is 21, not 85. But every year we still count 85 members. Despite the many deaths, we do see new life here at St. Nicholas. So I thought to myself, well, maybe that's just the normal cycle of life in a parish, isn't it? We are constantly saying both hello and goodbye in a place like this. So 64 burials shouldn't be too alarming, should it? Unfortunately, I made the mistake of looking a little bit more deeply into the metrics book. Yes, 64 burials, but how many baptisms? Right. Maybe all this new life is coming from baptisms. And at first I was excited. 53 baptisms in 10 years. That's really good, right? Except when it isn't. Because my next thought is, where are those 53 children? And where are their families? Again, back to the data. How many of the families who baptize their children continue to bring them to church? The answer is depressing. Only 6 families in those 10 years. Well, if not by baptism, then maybe by chrismation. Through chrismation, we receive converts into the Orthodox Church from other Christian traditions. Maybe this is where all the new life is coming from. But once again, the metrics book just sort of shakes its head. The data do not support this either. Over the last 10 years, only 9 of our active members are converts through chrismation. Only 9. Those 9 come from 5 families. 5 new families in 10 years by chrismation. That's only 1 new family every 2 years. Well, if we are not creating new Christians through baptism and chrismation, maybe we are at least attracting Orthodox from other places. But in the last 10 years, we have been blessed to welcome a few new members from other parishes in the Boston area, but the number is pretty small. And immigration is also not the great source of new life either. Yes, we continue to welcome many new immigrants. But very few make the commitment to regular participation and support The number is around 6 new members in that category over 10 years. So adding up the numbers based on parish data over the last decade, we have had to say goodbye to about 64 through death. We have welcomed far fewer than 20 new members in these other categories. The ratio is 3 to 1. For every one person who commits herself to participating in the life of the church, we lose 3 through death. So by the late evening last night, I was really, really discouraged. But then my guardian angel sort of tapped me on the shoulder and said, "My friend, you are reading the wrong book. Put down the metrics, dial back the despair, put down the parish record book, and pick up Holy Scripture. The Bible is a much better record of the activity of the Holy Spirit. If it is data that you want, if you are looking for a line of evidence on which to base your conclusions, look to the story told by the evangelists and by the apostles." Brothers and sisters, the celebration of Pascha, of the Lord's resurrection, that celebration is 40 days long. And starting with the resurrection last week, all the way until the Feast of the Ascension, we read for 40 days straight from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. The book of Acts, remember, this is the book that comes right after the Gospels. The sequence is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And it's also important to remember that Acts was written by St. Luke. St. Luke wrote that book, the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And really, the book of Acts is like a fifth gospel. It's part of Luke's story. Luke and Acts were written to be a single story. Luke is part one, Acts is part two. It's just that in our Bibles, they are broken up into two books, and we put St. John's gospel in between them. And the great story told in Luke and Acts together is the story of two sendings. In the first sending, Jesus was sent to Jerusalem in weakness. This is the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is sent to Jerusalem in weakness. In the second sending, however, in the book of Acts, the church is sent from Jerusalem out into the world with strength and power. In the Acts of the Apostles, we learn how the resurrection of Jesus Christ becomes a source of strength and a source of power through which the risen Christ passes on his new life to the apostles. Those simple fishermen who seem to do everything wrong in the gospel stories are now emboldened by the Holy Spirit to preach throughout the entire Roman Empire. We heard this morning how people would gather, hoping that even the shadows of the apostles would pass over them. How the members of the church lived in unity, doing works of healing, proclaiming the words of life to those who were in search of God's love and God's mercy. And Acts, this book, is given to us every year, not as a book of history, not just as an account of the glorious past. The book of Acts is given to us as an example every year, an example, a vision of what our life should look like. And it reminds us that whether we are a church of 10 or 10,000, we are called to take our turn. We're called to take our turn. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus was sent to Jerusalem in weakness, but in the book of Acts, the church is sent into the world from Jerusalem in great power. And this second sending, this sending forth in power, it continues with us. It continues with us. The parish metrical book is not a book of hope. It's not. But we are not people of the parish metric book. We are people of the good news proclaimed in Holy Scripture that God came to us, yes, in weakness, but he is now present in his church with great strength, great strength. Jesus Christ, in the life that he offers through his church, is capable of correcting and mending everything that you and I might think is beyond repair. He can take a dying marriage or strained family relationship and bring reconciliation and forgiveness. He can take hatred out of our hearts and replace it with forgiveness and love. He can replace feelings of abandonment and despair with a sense of purpose and value and meaningfulness. He can defeat sin and temptation and addiction. He can bring forth fruits of the Holy Spirit, even if we are convinced that our soil is too barren or that our branches are too old to yield anything good for the Lord. But without a doubt, all of this takes work. And it takes work that might be unfamiliar or even uncomfortable at times. Goodness knows in the Acts of the Apostles, those apostles were beaten and imprisoned on a regular basis for preaching the gospel. And sometimes this can look pretty depressing. Sometimes the hard work of sharing God's love with a dying world can get you down. With human eyes, for example, we see that funerals far outnumber new members. Our human ears listen to the voices that say the sky is falling and the church is shrinking. But brothers and sisters, all data are not created equal. They're not. Not all evidence is worthy of trust. Because of the resurrection of Christ, I choose to believe this day in the story told in the pages of Holy Scripture. I do not believe in the story told by the parish metrics book. Here's a fact. Here at St. Nicholas, despite the dreary records, the pews keep filling and the children keep coming. New immigrants continue to join our community, and new families continue to fall more deeply in love with Christ through the witness of Orthodox Christianity. People who have been away from the church continue to hear the call of the Father to come home and to take a seat at the banquet table, to feast in his kingdom. St. Nicholas continues to reach out and share God's love with people all over the North Shore. Our work is allowing Christ to bring hope to the hopeless. And all of this takes place because the Holy Spirit is alive with power in his church. You are here this morning, each and every one of you. You are here this morning because of the power and the movement of the Holy Spirit in your life. I am here for the same reason. We did not enter those doors on our own. You and I are called here and led here by the power of the Holy Spirit for reasons we don't completely understand. But you said yes, and I said yes. We accepted the invitation to come and to see the place where the Lord lives. It is not by advertising or marketing that this church is alive. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how many funerals, how many baptisms, or how many members. The Holy Spirit has not wasted one single moment of the last 10 years. Not one. The Holy Spirit moved among us so that we might reach this very day, this Sunday of Thomas. The Holy Spirit brings us together this day so that we too, like the apostles, we too might be sent out to bring good news to a dying world. The Lord enters Jerusalem in weakness. The church is sent forth from Jerusalem in power. This is who we are. This is our story. This is the only story worth trusting. It's certainly the only story worth celebrating. Baptisms are nice, don't get me wrong. Baptisms are nice, but sweeter still is the voice of the Lord who says, "Follow me." New members, always welcome. But the angels in heaven rejoice even more when the members we already have do the works which Jesus himself does among the people who are rejected and suffering in our communities. Children filling the church brings hope. And it brings excitement. May they always be with us. But the Father calls us all to become children and to receive the kingdom with great joy. Christ has risen, and the number of funerals do not matter. Christ has risen, and the brass gates of hell are shattered by the weak wood of the cross. Christ has risen, and those who receive the Lord this day in their weakness are sent forth into the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ has risen, and this is the only data we need. Brothers and sisters, Christ has risen.
He is risen.